listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
This is Jim with you this afternoon on ABQ Connect. I want to remind everybody that at 8 o'clock a.m. On Saturday, we've got a pancake breakfast at the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. And it's a fundraiser, obviously. It'll be from 8 to 11. And you can call the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, ACCH4Kids.org, and find out all the details if you'd like to attend. Be a fun time. There's never a wrong time to eat pancakes, is there, Ray?
I don't think so. Not for me, anyway.
Well, we have Ray Mondragon in studio, and Ray's been visiting with us about every 3 or 4 weeks and talking about we've been doing it almost for eight or nine months.
This is number 10.
Is it 10 months?
Well, 10, our 10th interview.
Well, and what we're doing is we are talking about, we kind of went through a progression. We first started talking about evolution. And what evolutionists teach and all of that. And you've really shown us some very clear terms and layman's terms, how we can explain why evolution is really not scientific. And now what we've been doing here in the last 5 or 6 visits together is we've been talking about creation science. So Ray, why don't you review for us what we covered last time and where we're going to go today?
Well, last time we transitioned from creation science and issues related to scientific evidence for God as creator to what God actually says in his word. So we started a discussion on Genesis chapter 1. And the main thing I tried to get across last time, basically two points. I wanted to make sure that your audience knew kind of the current attitude of scientists to us as believers, mm-hmm. and that there's a difference between real science and what is purported in the culture. And I tried to emphasize that when we speak of observational science, you have to deal with things that you can see and observe and test and evaluate in present time. That's observational science. When we're dealing with the ancient past, you can't reproduce those events, so you can't see them. Mm-hmm. You can evaluate them based on the traces left, scientifically, that is.
Sure.
But the big point is, really, we are utterly dependent on what God has revealed to us because nobody was there. There's no observations of things like creation, or next time we'll talk about the Genesis flood. Now, Noah was there.
Now, I have a couple friends that I tease about being around during the Genesis.
Well, that's another topic.
Well, Ray, as we go through all of this information, and again, I want to focus that we are going to try to leave people with a couple of points. You can get very in-depth. Off air, we talk about things and use all the scientific terms, and that just flies right over my head. So I appreciate you dumbing it down for me. I know probably our listeners can handle a lot more, but this is very informational. So tell me the essence of the topics we're going to discuss today.
Well, today I'd like to just take it one more step and also review the second thing that I mentioned, but take it into the text itself. In other words, let's take a look at Genesis, see what the text says. And basically, this is all the information we have. There was nobody there was no scientist, obviously, that was present to observe God creating. Not even Adam. I mean, Adam was created on day 6.
Right.
This is the last creative act. So observational science can't really give us, scientifically speaking, much information about creation and events, other events in the ancient past. So I'd like to look at the text and see what God has revealed. We're dependent on God's revelation.
Well, I am handing you the ball, my friend. Go for it.
Well, first of all, let's remind your listeners that I started a contrast, and we emphasized being able to observe things. And when we were talking about evolution, for example, I said that there are no observations on all of the major points that the evolutionist tries to make. Nobody has observed life coming about from non-living matter into something that lives.
Sure.
No one has observed, for example, the transition of one creature into a totally different species, different creature. And you can go all the way down all of the issues relating to evolution. Nobody has observed any of that, and it's not observable today. So there's really the point we've been making all along. There's no scientific evidence, really, for the theory of evolution. Similarly, when it comes to these issues relating to creation and ideas related to creation, we're actually dependent on the only one that was there. In fact, if you remember, we spoke of what we find in the book of Job, if I can find the quote here. Job, or God asked Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And he's referring to creation.
Sure.
The obvious answer is nobody was there.
Right.
Nobody to make observations. So let's jump into the text and beginning with Genesis 1:1.
Okay.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And if you remember last time, I tried to make the point that this is a statement that God makes that has all of the elements of science in it. And as we discuss Genesis 1 and science, that's what I want to bring out from the text, is all of these little notes. People overlook Genesis 1 and think in terms of, well, these are theological statements. Mm-hmm. And yes, they are theological statements, but they are also statements concerning the natural realm, and that's what science deals with. And they're scientific statements. For example, science, a lot of the processes involve time. In fact, some of the formulas that we derive from observations involve time. Well, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. Mm-hmm. In fact, we have the beginning of time. Science deals with things relating to matter, things that you can test and observe. And what do we have? In the beginning, God created all of matter, the heavens and the earth. The scientist deals with energy. And what we have is a display of omnipotent energy to be able to put together everything that you can observe in the scientific realm. So when it speaks of in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, we have matter, we have energy, we have time, we have processes. Science evaluates processes. Mm-hmm. We have the process by which everything came about, creation. Mm-hmm. And we have agency. In science, we deal with what causes certain reactions or certain phenomenon. Well, we have the agency of creation in the beginning, God. God created the heavens and the earth. So this is very much a scientific, at least description. Not in scientific terms, but it's a scientific description that tells us everything we need to know about the beginnings. And then the rest of the passage details that and goes into some detail in 6 days. Not that God needed 6 days. We talked about that even. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He could have done it in a nanosecond if he so chose. But he did it for a purpose. We can talk about that when we talk about day 7.
Right. Well, Ray, the obvious question comes up. A person that is not a believer, a person that does not have faith, is going to ask the question, well, who has observed God?
It's a good question. When we talk about things relating to God, he is so apart from his creation. In fact, that's one of the points that Genesis 1:1 makes. That's a huge point. That distinguishes our worldview from every other thought pattern or worldview or ideas, the idea that we believe in a God that is separate and distinct from the creation. Mm-hmm. Even if you discuss the religions that are described in the Bible, for example, the Egyptians, the Babylonians, all of their gods were part of or related in some way very directly and intimately with the creation. The Egyptians worshiped frogs, insects, the Nile River, Pharaoh. All of those were gods. It's the Bible that says, in the beginning, God is already there. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The universe comes about by a personage outside of it. So anything related to God, he's eternal. He's outside of the creation. And all we can know about him is what he has told us about himself. And he is not part of the creation. He's separate and distinct. And as a result, he does not have a beginning. And you can't ask those questions relating to God. Well, you can ask them, but you can't.
Well, in an inverse perspective, though, the creation itself is so complex. Like, for example, DNA molecules.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks of a creator.
Yes.
So we have a lot more to talk about this afternoon. Ray Mondragon, Creation Science Fellowship in studio. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new school at Power Ford. We'll give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part? We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part? You rated us Best of the City and Ford Dealer of the Year. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Hi, did you know that some 48 million Americans suffer from some type of hearing loss? At Sound Choice Hearing, we have over 25 years of experience in hearing aid fitting. At Sound Choice, we offer free hearing evaluations, and we allow you to try the latest hearing technology absolutely free with no obligation. With the technology we offer today, we can treat any type of hearing loss, and we can help you hear better even on your cell phone. So call Sound Choice Hearing for a free hearing test and consultation at 341-1300. That's 341-1300.
King David, a man after God's own heart. He's the only person in Scripture called that. Listen to Skip Heitzig.
It mystifies us, really, because we know David. We've read the rest of the story. A man after God's own heart committed adultery with Bathsheba, got her husband drunk, killed him off.
The reason for this title shows us an important thing about God.
Don't think that that means perfect, because it wasn't. He had flaws. Another translation puts it this way, a man after God's own mind.
Find more from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
It's as if God is saying, I don't see David in his sin. I know his sin. But I'm seeing David with the potential for David to be something other than that. A man after my heart, my mind.
Subscribe to the Skip Heitzig YouTube channel.
Just think what God can do through you, no matter what your past is. What God can do through you.
God can do through you.
A man or woman sold out to God.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are with Ray Mondragon, Creation Science Fellowship, and also a teacher with Schaefer Seminary. You have an event coming up with Schaefer Seminary.
Yes. Next month, actually, we have our annual convention, or what's the proper word here?
Conference.
Conference, yeah. And it's in Houston, Texas, so I don't know if too many people. We do have a group from Albuquerque that are going, but not too many people can go. But if they're interested in it, go to the Schaefer website,
okay.
Schaefer.edu.
EDU?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we have an annual conference, and in that conference we obviously often have different speakers. This year we're focusing on just two speakers. In fact, I've spoken in the past a couple of times. Alan Ross, who's a world-class scholar, Hebrew scholar, mm-hmm. used to teach at Dallas Seminary. In fact, when I was there, he was basically my Hebrew teacher. Mm. And he's written books. He's probably not as well-known as other scholars. He spends more time writing and studying and researching, that sort of thing. But he's an excellent teacher. The main theme is understanding biblical worship. So that's kind of the theme. And all of this can be live streamed as well. And all the information you can get from the Schaefer website.
And that is Schaefer.org.
Right.
Okay.
And I'm glad you pointed that out because when you say Schaefer, some
yeah.
people think of Francis Schaefer.
That's right.
And he's Schaefer, or we're Schaefer.
Schaefer. There you go.
That's March 9th through 11th.
I want to also mention to everybody that Creation Science Fellowship meets the third Tuesday of every month at Faith Bible Church at 9600 Central Avenue Southeast, free for people to attend. What time do you get together?
7 o'clock.
Seven o'clock.
It usually is an hour, 15-minute talk or so. So plan on 2 hours.
And people allowed to ask questions.
Absolutely.
And go through all of that.
They
and,
are invited.
Any age group restrictions?
We love homeschoolers.
They love it. Yeah. Well, yeah. And I'm
whole
sure.
Whole families.
It'd be really neat to get a lot of people involved because these are the folks that are being assaulted when they go to college.
Yes.
You know, these yep. professors are imposing all kinds of what I'll call academia on them. And mm-hmm. there's a pretense behind that. There's some validity to it.
Right. In fact, the church is failing today to teach young people apologetics, or we don't even have to use that term, but just to be able to stand up to the assaults on Christianity, not even just even defending it, but even be able to stay solid in their own faith to realize that there are answers out there.
In our first segment, we had Mike Riddle. I'll say one of your compadres. He's in here to teach for Contending the Faith Week, which is partially sponsored by Creation Science Fellowship mm-hmm. of New Mexico. He's got classes going on at Hoffmantown Baptist Church that he's invited everybody to. 6 o'clock, Hoffmantown Baptist Church on Thursday the 20th. And there's going to be some basic creation science training that he's going to take you through. And that is free.
Yep.
And if you'd like to go, you can go.
Show up.
That's right. Just show up. But you can also go into the CSFNM.org website, which is Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico, .org. So CSFNM.org. And then I know everybody's probably getting bored with all these websites, but I went in, I really had a good time going into the creationtraining.org site. And just looking at some of their free videos and stuff, and what a valuable resource. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of the information is free. It's very clear and very concise. And I have to tell you, it equips you to really answer right. a lot of these questions that we're talking about today. So, yes. Ray, we started in the text in Genesis 1, and you started to talk about how the text supports science. And let's continue.
Well, if you take a look at Genesis, most people think, well, I don't know enough science. In fact, even pastors sometimes don't get into the text because they are intimidated by science, thinking science goes against what the text says. And in reality, there's nothing in Genesis 1 that goes against that can be observed. In other words, science that we know, mm-hmm. science that is real. And I've contrasted secular science with science that we know. We do have conflicts with some of the ideas of some scientists that impose those ideas on Genesis, and some pastors and some Bible teachers are intimidated by that. I recommend that if you're an adult, maybe you're a 10-year-old listening, but if you're an adult, get your 10-year-old daughter or son to read the text and have them explain it to you. And they will give you a better interpretation of Genesis 1 than somebody that has a PhD in science, because he's going to be clouded with all of these ideas and these theories that undermine the text. But in reality, the text is simple enough that I think a 10-year-old can exegete the text more accurately. Mm. So let's get into the text. Now, I don't intend to expound the whole text, but let's highlight some things as we go through it.
Okay.
Make some high points, and the main thing I want to do is show that it deals with scientific issues. It makes scientific statements, just as I tried to illustrate with Genesis 1:1. Now, being an engineer, you always start off with certain fundamentals, or in our case, as humans, we start out with materials or a situation. Civil engineers start off with a piece of ground that is vacant, mm-hmm. and we look to raw materials, resources, and we bring all these together and build a subdivision or a structure or a bridge or something along those lines. I think we have something analogous to that, although God doesn't need anything. In fact, I think what we have is a record of creation out of nothing, because that's stated in other places like Psalm 33.
So what we've got to do, Ray, is we've got to say thank you to some sponsors right now. So we're going to come back and start in Genesis 2. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. More about creation science and the Bible right after these messages.
Every Tuesday night is Faith Night at Roller King. Bring the whole family for the fun times you remember having years ago. Enjoy family-friendly music, contests, a snack bar, and time for the whole family. Stop binging the latest show and forget the video game screens to get out of the house for healthy activities during Faith Night at Roller King, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8:30. For information, call 299-4494. That's 299-4494. Or log on to rollerkingnm.com.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi, friends. John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept. And there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT.
Disappointing losses. This is Roger Patterson with the Minute of Vision for Life. The great Connie Mack once said, "You can't win them all." Connie Mack knew that if he was going to be successful in baseball, he had to learn to deal with disappointment and loss. Losing stinks. Not getting what you want when you wanted after working hard to get it hurts even more. So let's just be honest with each other for a moment. If we're going to be successful in life, we must develop a plan for handling disappointment. Here are three key tips to help you when you face disappointment. Number one, keep fighting. Don't quit on yourself, your family, or your team. Those who quit fail every time. Number two, learn all you can from your disappointment and find ways to correct your course. Number three, stay ready by guarding your heart. Galatians 6:9 states, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up."
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision, a ministry of Vision for Life Radio at visionforlife.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
This is Jim with ABQ Connect. Ray Mondragon, Creation Science Fellowship, in studio with us. We're talking about creation and how the Bible supports science. There's evidence for scientific validity in the Bible, and right, there's vice versa. The Bible actually might even be the basis of science.
Oh, absolutely.
Say,
right? It's the foundation of all of the sciences. In fact, the foundation of all of the sciences can be contained in Genesis 1.
Well, and my intention in having you on the program, Ray, and your intention in being here, is that we're equipping people to think through a lot of issues that we don't necessarily agree on. For example, I'm going to give you, I'll give you a prime example. For many, many years up until, last couple, a lot of people have believed that the ancient city of Sodom was south of the Dead Sea. Well, our good friend and local Albuquerque archaeologist, right, Dr. Stephen Collins, has actually discovered the ancient city of Sodom in the Tel al-Hammam dig, which is in the Jordan Valley, a little bit north and east of the Dead Sea.
He's there right now.
He's
by
there
the way.
Right now excavating.
Right.
And it's an amazing find because it validates Scripture. And a lot of things that he's finding are absolutely amazing. But here's one of the controversial things. And Dr. Steve has shared this with us, that he's varied his perspective on young Earth, old Earth, you know, back to young Earth, back over to old Earth. So like you said before, we're talking about historical things that we can't really ever absolutely know because we can't there's nobody there when it happened.
Right.
And I like the fact that as we go through this, you are giving us different alternatives. You're not speaking ex cathedra like we know everything. You know, we're not God.
No.
But we can observe and have a nice conversation. And
right,
it's encouraging to our faith. So that's what we hope people get out of this today. And I want to give one other thing to our listeners. If you're into texting and you'd like to give a question to Ray today, call us or text us at 505-585-5483. If you text us, we will give you a free workout at Designer Bodies gym here in town. It's right at the corner of Corrales Road and Alameda. And It's a neat, neat place to work out. Really clean, fabulous. Dwayne Kindleberger is one of our sponsors here, and we'd like to give you one of these free passes if you would be interested in staying in shape and learning about creation science. So we got to get going in Genesis 2.
Verse 2. Right. I use the analogy, as an engineer, we start with raw materials. Now, God doesn't need raw materials, but he describes the beginning of the creative work in terms like resources. The earth was formless and void. In other words, these were the initial conditions before God speaks everything into existence. Mm-hmm. So he almost, well, it assumes the earth already. But the earth wasn't there because he created it. Verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So the earth is already created. And what he's going to do is just describe in simple terms six creative days of work that God does. So he begins with a formless and void earth. In other words, it's empty and it does not have a shape or a form, an identifiable way of identifying it. And it's dark, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And it involves the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. So we have kind of, these are the initial conditions before he introduces us in verse 3. Then God said, God speaks. And I think what we have in Genesis 1 is the absolute beginning of all things. Now there's different debates on a lot of theological points. Even the formless and void idea within, I'm talking our camp of conservative Bible-believing Christians. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our purpose is not to get into all those minutiae, but to kind of bring out more of the scientific aspects. But I need to lay the groundwork to be able to discuss what we have on day one. On day one, God speaks. And if you notice, in every day, at the beginning of every day, and there's a couple where he speaks two times, and God said. The point it's making here is God does not use natural means. There's nothing natural. God speaks things into existence. We can go off and talk a lot about a lot of implications that that brings, but the essence of it is God is so omnipotent, he can speak things into existence. He spoke the entire universe into existence. Mm. And the first creative act is he created light. So if you ever wondered where light comes from, God is the creator. Now, if you're a scientist, you know that light has a spectrum. And you know that in that spectrum, we can only see a very, very small portion of that spectrum. But I believe that on day one, God created essentially the entire electromagnetic spectrum that includes visible light. And that includes lots of scientific areas. Mm. And this is the beginning of...
Well, as you present this physics in simple terms, it just becomes more and more massive.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't that really support God?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because we can't. Some of these things we still don't understand. We don't understand fully gravity. We still don't fully understand light. Is it a wave or is it composed of particles? That's a debate that goes on today scientifically.
Yeah.
But we know the bottom line is God is the one that put it together.
I've always been fascinated with, I guess, a physical perspective that God might have upon us. So, for example, I've stood on the edge of the Grand Canyon, and it's amazing because it's massive, and it takes up the entire horizon, and it doesn't move. You know, it's just this huge thing. But then I've flown over it, and it's like a pebble on the ground.
Or a little scratch.
A little scratch. And you think about God being above the universe. Maybe he sees the entire universe that way.
Not maybe.
Yeah. So
actually,
it is a perspective that's really fascinating.
Right. So light, for example, this is a form of energy. So God is creating energy, and there's probably other energies. He's only describing, I think, in Genesis 1, the high points, the parameters, you might even say, of the entire creation.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of other things that are probably being created, but we have the origin here. For example, you could even use verse 2 to talk about the origin of geophysics. So there's no geophysics until God creates it. So you don't even have science until God creates these things in the natural.
So geophysics is heat and...
No, geophysics is the study of the earth.
Oh, okay, so geology.
That's
rock,
a branch of the broader geophysical study.
Nice.
So the earth is there. God created chemistry. There's water. So you have two elements that we can study today. So all of hydrology, all of oceanography, all of the ideas relating to water, we have in verse 2. There's right there.
Gotcha.
So what we generally stress when we teach these passages are things related to God, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, but what we're bringing out is there's lots of science in there. There's lots of science in Genesis 1. So we can study light, and, you know, we observe that it travels at a very rapid rate. We don't know if that's a constant or if it's changed over time. And what
scientists believe that the speed of light has been constant.
A lot of them believe it's constant and has been. But remember last time I also contrasted a different view in terms of constants and laws of science. Secular science essentially believes, I'll remind you of what we talked about, believes that physical laws are eternal. They've always been here. In fact, that's pretty common. And they'll always be with us, and they don't change. But if you study Genesis, you find out that that's not the case at all, that the natural realm has undergone at least two major radical changes. What we are observing here from the text, I mean, not observing physically, but from the text, what God is telling us is this creation, and when we get to the end there, and we're not going to get there today.
Sure.
But this creation is a very good creation. And we look around us, well, there's earthquakes, there's hurricanes, there's tornadoes, there's death in the animal kingdom, there's destruction, there's all these. Where's the very good earth? Well, Genesis tells us that there was an event that caused a radical change to the entire creation. The Bible calls that the fall of mankind, or the first sin of Adam and Eve. And radical things took place in the entire creation that we are suffering the consequences of to this very day. We're not living in that created realm. So already that tells you we can't look at the laws as unchanging and look at the laws today and project back and impose them on Genesis 1 because they won't work. It was a different creative realm in Genesis 1 than what you can observe today. And there was a second change at the Genesis flood. We'll talk about that. I'd like to discuss it next time that we
We'll talk about the flood
together.
Next time.
Right.
We've got to take another break.
Good.
Ray Mondragon in studio with us. We'll be right back after these messages.
Mark Pardo Salon Spa. More beauty, more luxury, more value. In addition to hair and skin treatments, experience Mark Pardo's spa services, including facials, nails, hair removal, massage, and body treatments. Perfect when preparing for that special celebration or simply to treat yourself. Ask about Mark Pardo Salon Spa Services and schedule an appointment today at 298-2983 or markpardo.com.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
To a patient with High Desert Hospice, something as simple as a caring touch, a smile, a prayer, or even just physical presence can bring comfort beyond measure.
I was unsure about volunteering, but when I met my first patient, I knew I had made the right decision. The patients and families are so grateful. You can't help but feel good.
Discover just how easy and fulfilling volunteering with High Desert Hospice can be. Go to highdeserthospice.care.
That's highdeserthospice.care. And click on volunteer.
Duke City Ready Mix, your local premier concrete and gravel producer, recently received national recognition by winning the Excellence in Concrete Quality Award from the National Ready Mix Association. We are dedicated to earning your trust by our consistent quality, service, and by being a good neighbor, serving the entire valley. Visit us at QualityMattersHere.com or call 877-5777. Duke City Ready Mix. Quality, service, community.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are with Ray Mondragon, Creation Science Fellowship. I want to remind everybody that Creation Science Fellowship meets at Faith Bible Church, located at 9600 Central Avenue Southeast. They meet the third Tuesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. It is free, and there's all kinds of different speakers. In fact, we visited earlier with Mike Riddle. Mike Riddle has creationtraining.org. You can go to their website, creationtraining.org, all kinds of free resources. Ray, you have your own website. It's called For His Glory, NM for New Mexico.com. Again, links to all kinds of information. And I like to bring this up to our listeners because they get to write this down as they're listening and spend a lot of really quality time individually looking this stuff up. But after they have a chance to review it, it's great stuff to share, especially with children.
Right. Yeah, and on the website, by the way, I've got everything that we're talking about here in greater detail. I did an exposition for a church in Houston last year, and it's on video and it's on my site. So things like that, other areas of creation science, and they're mainly the talks that I've done. Most of them are audio, but there's a few videos in there as well.
That's forhisglorynm.com. Can people get in touch with you too, Ray, through your website?
I've got my email address, but it's raymswcp.com, and they're welcome to email me.
So people can contact you about possibly speaking,
sure,
asking questions, all those kinds of things.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, we've got to go now to day two of creation.
Not quite. There's a lot in day one. We may not get out of day one.
Okay.
And like I said at the break, I'd like to get as much as we can, and if we get to day one, we'll come back.
I don't know what's so complicated about creating the world.
it's so simple
in the text.
That's
right, yeah. God blinks and it's there, right?
That's right. Well, he just speaks. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And one of the things I also point out in the more detailed discussion is there is no natural phenomenon in Genesis 1. It's all God creating, God speaking, God doing, God placing, for example, things in the sky. And every one of the days preceded by God just simply speaking. And we're talking about light and some issues related to light. Let there be light. One of the points I try to make is you can't find evolution. And that's one of the failings of some of the theologians. They try to impose secular science that it's permeated with evolution on Genesis 1, and it doesn't work. It just destroys the text, basically, and destroys what God has said.
I mean, there's a branch of thought called theistic
evolution. Theistic evolution. We talked a little about that, yeah.
And it really doesn't line up.
It doesn't work. And it's foolish to try because evolution does not have any scientific validity. It's a theological viewpoint, but it's more of a philosophical viewpoint.
Well, Ray, let me see if I've learned anything. I think I have. So what we're really talking about, there's no question that, for example, the human body has some variance. If you want to use the word, we have evolved since human beings began, that's probably true. We've changed a little bit.
We've changed, but I would never use that word.
Well,
yeah,
evolved really doesn't mean we've changed. It means that there is a literal transference of one species into another.
According to evolution.
And that's just never been observed.
Never.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen today. It didn't happen 10,000 years ago or however old you think the earth is. So there's no valid science to that.
Right. Right.
And that's why theistic evolution doesn't work.
Right. And those that hold to it are intimidated by the so-called science of evolution and don't realize the mistake of trying to combine the two. Mm. So, well, anyway, one of the things that I was mentioning is when you come to Genesis, you're not going to see any evolution or even natural processes. Some theologians say, well, Genesis 1:1 kind of describes the Big Bang, doesn't it? And you have to kind of nod your head and say, no, there's no Big Bang. There's nothing natural here. And if we were to go through the text, and one of the things I do in the extended discussion of it is point out, point by point, where evolution is just totally contradicted by Genesis 1. So you have to hold the one or the other. Mm. You can't mix the two. And if you have problems with Genesis 1 and you want to believe in evolution, it takes far more faith. In fact, I don't have enough faith to believe in evolution. Mm. It takes far more faith than to believe in what we have in Genesis 1. And there's far more science or scientific descriptions in Genesis 1. We've just looked at one of them, light, for example, and this whole electromagnetic spectrum.
And by the way, this is a conversation for our listeners. If you want to be involved in the conversation for this show or future shows, you can text us at 505-585-5483. Ask mm-hmm. a question. You ask a question today and we don't get to it, we'll get to it next time with Ray. He'll be back on the program here in 3 or 4 weeks. You're also welcome to call us at 505-338-5790. And again, you could totally disagree. We'd love for you to call because we enjoy the conversation.
Yes.
Now we hope that people will be respectful and, you know, we're just trying to learn as most people are and gain more information every day. Do you feel like you learn every day, Ray?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, we were commenting, the more we learn, the more we find out how little we know.
Yes. Yeah, that is a paradox that I
gave you a definition of an expert. He's the one that studies more and more about less and less until he knows absolutely everything about nothing.
I love that. Well, hey, you've got a little bit more time to get a little few more verses.
Okay, one more point. Probably one of the biggest problems that Christians have in Genesis talks about these days, and then it's not till we get to day 4 that God creates the sun and the moon, and the question is, well, how can you have days without the sun and the moon? Mm-hmm. Well, the sun and the moon are, and in fact, in verse 14, it explains to us, we won't get into it, but basically, the sun and the moon is for our benefit so that now we can keep track of time. Mm. God doesn't need to keep track of time. In fact, what we have in Genesis is the beginning of a time frame or a time, if you want to call it a dimension. And that begins with in the beginning. So you don't need a sun or a moon to be able to distinguish months and days and years, etc. So on day 1, we have a day, and once you have light, you even then can begin recording it because you have a dark portion of the day and a light portion of the day that is described there.
Now, is there an argument that light actually came from the sun and the sun wasn't created yet?
Well, if you look at the Hebrew words on day 4 for both the sun and the moon, the words sun and moon are not there. Mm. Now, there are Hebrew words for both of them. But the word there is really a word that's related to light, and it has the idea of light bearers. Mm. So there's light apart from the sun, and the sun only bears light or radiates light. Mm. So God creates light apart from the sun. And in fact, scientifically, you can create light apart from the sun. A chemical reaction will produce light. Mm-hmm. A nuclear reaction produces light. Electrical activity produces light. So light exists apart from the sun.
Gotcha.
And we've been able to even create artificial light, mm-hmm. or not create it, but harness it, I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the issues I wanted to bring out as well. When we talk about day 4, we can add to that discussion. Mm.
Well, I'm really fascinated with all the things that could possibly be going on simultaneously to the simple description we have about Earth. you know, it's not really describing the rest of the universe, all the stars and all of those things.
Yeah. In fact, it's very interesting how the text describes it, and we'll look forward to that.
Yeah. Well, Ray, tell us a little bit about what we're going to do next time, because I think we've gotten a little bit through it, but we only have a couple minutes left, and I want people to have a good expectation about where we're going in our next interview.
Yeah, there is so much in Genesis 1. We could spend, however many weeks you wanted to. But what I'd like to do is just give a little introduction. We've done that for the last 2 weeks. And then I'd like to discuss the second major area that we as believers have a conflict with secular science. We talked about creation versus evolution, and we talked about evolution, we talked about creation science, and now we're in Genesis 1, which is still creation. The second major area is this issue of the Genesis flood. Is this just a myth? Is this a real event? And the secularist today says that there is no scientific evidence, no geological evidence for a Genesis flood. Nowhere. And we need to address.
That's what secular science says.
That's what secular science today. So we'll look at historical science, and I'll give a little introduction to what they believe, and we'll talk about, is there evidence?
I'd love to hear their explanation as to how there are marine fossils on the top of Sandia Mountains east of the city.
That's a problem for them.
Yeah, I would imagine.
We'll talk about some other problems that they have.
Yeah.
But that's the gist of what we'll start. And I don't know, however many weeks you want to go with it, there's lots of material there. But the bottom line is there is overwhelming scientific evidence for a Genesis flood. Mm. In fact, you can see some of the evidence if you look out and look at the Sandia Mountains.
Yeah. Well, I've actually found some fossils. In fact, my mother did some geology studies at the University of New Mexico when I was quite a bit younger, and I went on a couple of the field trips that her classes took. And we actually found some items that they took straight to the university, and were analyzing them. I don't know if they took them to the anthropology department or where they took them, but they were really evaluating, you know, what those were and dating them and all those kinds of things.
Not just the fossils, but everything that you see on the Sandia Crest gives evidence that that was placed there by the Genesis flood.
Mm. So, Ray, the real challenge is we're just trying to get people to think and have a conversation.
And to pursue it and check it out.
And also be able to defend themselves.
Right.
We want them to be able to defend their faith. So, hey, everybody, don't forget that you're invited to attend the Contending for the Faith Week, 6 o'clock, Hoffmantown Baptist Church on Thursday. It's a basic creation training course. That, of course, is being taught by Mike Riddle, who was on the beginning of the show. And Ray Mondragon, again, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, I loved it. It was great.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.